Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Cindy Chavez here. Today is Tuesday, February the 20th, 2018, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, your first daily dose of happy for the day. And Cindy, we are off on a new adventure, so to speak, because I keep trying to find just the right combination to make sure everything works properly. And I ran into a glitch on Sunday, Monday morning that has since been ironed out. But this is the first show where we're actually getting to do everything working together. And the listener probably doesn't hear much of a difference other than when, you know, they hear something that goes wrong. But beyond that, they probably don't know a difference. But we know what the difference is because, among other things, up until very recently, up until today, really, you couldn't hear the intro music or the outro music. You can now hear that. And that's kind of an important thing. So this is a banner day.
If you could see me, like, dancing in my chair over here, waiting for you to say, welcome to LOA Today. And the music makes such a big difference, and it's so funny. It always just cracks me up thinking about it, the time period that we didn't have, that the co-host wasn't hearing the music.
Right.
I was like, wow, it shocked me. And I think this is such a good kind of learning thing, because it shocked me how much that made a difference to me when it was just a few seconds.
I know, like, it's only 30 seconds long, and yet it makes such a huge difference in terms of getting our energy up and getting us excited, like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Right, and so that's what, you know, got my train of thought going about, you know, if like 4 seconds of music makes that big of a difference in my vibration,
what
then how
does?
Much of a difference does, you know, everything else make?
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
Right? And so it made me realize that really small, intentional little tweaks that we do of stuff we experience going throughout our day can make a huge difference in our vibrational alignment. So it's been a real good experiment, right?
It has been. It's been great. And we've got another experiment that we're starting today as well, because we are going to start discussing yet another Abraham book. You and I are going to be discussing Money and the Law of Attraction, which actually was the first book. It was the second book that I picked up of theirs, but the first one that I read all the way through and got quite a bit out of it. And this is a good book. This is a really good book. So, I mean, this was your suggestion that we talk about this one. I'm glad you suggested it. It's been a while since I looked at it, and I'm realizing I need to look at it again. Sometimes you just have to keep reviewing these things.
Well, you know, I think this, even in some classes that I've taught, you know, I've had students come back and take the class again, and I always say, it'll be a different class this time, and this will be a different book for you, because you're different, and because you know more. And the most wonderful thing that happens to me when I go back to a book, you know, in 6 months or 6 years or whenever I go back to it, is I'll read a lot of things that are like, I'm totally convinced, like, I know it's the same book, but I'll be like, I never read that paragraph before. How did I miss that? So I think it's going to be really great. And I've never read this book before. I went online to see the list of books. I have a little section right here on my bookshelf that I can see from my desk where I have all my Abraham books. And this one isn't there, and I've never read it. I don't know how I missed it. So I'm excited to be reading it for the first time.
That's great. Yeah. It's funny, too. You mentioned how you can find stuff in a book that you read before and you wonder how you missed it. Because one of the things that kind of kicked me into the gear of let's do all these books with all you guys who are co-hosting with me was when I bought like the remaining Abraham books that I had not yet read. There were four of them. One of them was The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham, which I'm currently doing with Wendy Dillard in the afternoon podcasts. And as I read that through for the first time before doing it on the show, of course, I got to a section where it identified not one but three laws. And I had never heard of that before. And so I brought it up with my co-hosts, and they had never heard about it before, including the ones who had read the book before. And I'm thinking, like, this is really important. How did everybody miss this? That's what I couldn't understand. How could everybody miss this? Because it turns out that the law of attraction is the first law. The law of creation, or otherwise known as the science of deliberate creation, is the second law. And then the law of allowing is the third law. And when I explained that to, like, Joel and David and so forth, they said, oh, yeah, well, of course. But they didn't realize that it actually said those were laws. Somehow
right.
We missed that part.
Right.
I don't get it. How did we miss that?
Well, and you know what's funny is that if if I missed it and you missed it and, you know, other co-hosts, but, you know, other people we've talked to missed that, then that tells me a lot of people have missed it.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And in my experience of my own, you know, practice and of clients and friends and other law of attraction colleagues, that would probably be true, right? That's the thing we seem to have missed. It's like, I'm doing these things. What am I doing? What am I not doing? Yeah, we're not allowing, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like the allowing part. It's like we're not letting it in.
Yeah.
So that's, and it's one of those things, you know, for me anyway, it seems like it would be easy, but it's not always easy because we have a lot of habits of resistance, I think, that are very automatic.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's very true. So,
yeah.
Anyway, before we get into the book, how has your week been? Because we haven't talked since last Wednesday. How have things been?
Things have been great. We talked last Wednesday morning, and then Wednesday, it was Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. and I taught a class that afternoon about relationships, and then I had a wonderful date at my favorite restaurant, and I actually
right.
said to myself, at dinner, I said, I'm going to have to tell Walt what I ate tonight. Because,
why is that?
Because it was, let me think, it was the longest identified thing on the special Valentine's menu. It was a filet mignon topped with, it was filet mignon on top of a smoked duck and potato hash topped with blackened crawfish in a Maytag blue cheese Mornay sauce.
Oh, my God.
It's like, good grief. And it was wonderful. So that was a lot of fun. The weekend was a lot of fun. Had a great weekend. And then yesterday, I did something. This is really the first time I've talked about this idea. Years and years ago, I made jewelry. It was one of my things I did. It's a small business that I had. And I was actually the, this will probably make you laugh, but I was the president of the Baton Rouge Bead Society. We actually had a bead society.
That actually does make me laugh, believe it or not, because my wife also had a beading business.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
So most people go, bead society? Are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, these people that were members were and teachers and, you know, leaders of it were very knowledgeable about the history of beads because, you know, beads used to be money, which is what we're going to be talking
Absolutely.
About today.
Yeah.
So I, at one point, I stopped doing that because I started homeschooling my kids. So I like really, I closed that business down and I sold all of my beading supplies, but I've always kind of wanted to make some beads or make, you know, beads just because I like to do it. And it's kind of, it's creative and it's fun and it's meditative. And the thing, the idea that I've had that I've really wanted to do for the past maybe 2 years is to use a string of prayer beads, which, you know, most religions, religious traditions have some kind of prayer bead. Right. The Catholics have rosaries and the Buddhists and Hindus use malas and the Muslims use a tasbih. And they're basically all strings of beads and mm-hmm. they use them to count. And I wanted to use them to count affirmations.
Oh, nice idea.
Right. I wanted to take a string of those beads and during my time of meditation or whatever to work through repeating affirmations with the beads. I've been wanting to do it. I've never heard of anyone doing it. I've been wanting to do it for a couple of years. And then I was on a call with some colleagues, and one of my colleagues said that she uses a string of prayer beads, and she does 1,000 affirmations a day. And
whoa.
This is a colleague of mine that creates, like, major stuff in her life, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So yesterday I actually got online and I ordered some bead stringing stuff. And I'm so excited about doing this because I'm combining something I love, which is creativity and art and, you know, making. I love being a maker, making things with law of attraction and affirmations. And so it's kind of exciting.
Well,
you can probably hear my voice.
I do hear it. Well, when you talk about 1,000 affirmations a day, the first thought that came to my mind was an HBO special that once came out a number of years ago, many years ago, about the special competition and then later relationship between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird called Magic and Bird. And in that special, the story is basically about how they were really big rivals in school. They were basically the two players that saved the NBA. There was a tremendous racial aspect to it because one was white, one was black. There were a whole bunch of aspects to it. And one of the more specific direct competitive aspects was they were both the premier players of their time. And so they were always looking at the box scores, trying to ask themselves, have I done as much as my competitor has done? You know, like Larry would say, wow. I only shot 200 shots today. I'll bet you he shot 500. Things like that. So you talked about 1,000 affirmations. The first thing I thought was, oh, right. Yeah, Sydney now has to do her 1,000 affirmations. I thought that was great.
Well, what's funny is she actually, you know, I've been doing a little research, and like Amala has 108 beads, and I think Atazbe has 99. So, you know, they're sort of right around 100. So mm-hmm. I think she was saying, you know, 10 times around the string of beads is 1,000 affirmations. And that her goal was to do that for 10 days. So 10,000 affirmations to completely change that belief system, whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever she was affirming for.
Right.
And I was so blown away. It was the biggest number. I mean, I was just sitting here with my jaw dropped open. Like, yeah, I had no thought of, oh, I can top that. No, that thought was not there. It was more like, no way. Okay. No wonder you're so good at this. But just the fact that someone, I was like, yeah, there's nothing new under the sun, right? I in my head, I thought, yeah, I've never heard of anybody doing this. Praying or, you know, which is all kind of the same. It's just putting energy out, right, and thoughts. But I was excited to know that someone had done this. And it's somebody that when I look at their life, I see that they are very successful and successful at using deliberate creation. So,
but I mean, 1,000 in a day. I'm thinking about that. You know, okay, so let's say you wake up early. And so you do a couple hundred before breakfast. And then you have breakfast. And then you do like 300 or 400 more before lunch. And then after lunch, I mean, it's going to consume your entire day doing 1,000 affirmations.
Well, she was actually talking about, every time she just like takes a break, you know, like in the day, just the little breaks, you know, even bathroom breaks, just little breaks between what she's doing that she'll try to run through the string.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I mean, it is a lot. I always, you know, I like math. Everything's math, right? I just grabbed the calculator. I was like, okay. And so I said an affirmation. It took me like, you know, 2 seconds. I was like, how much is this? Like, yeah, we're still going to get in over an hour.
I mean, I remember the first time that I actually tried to deliberately work on improving my emotional state back when I first learned through Abraham that you really can't control your emotional state, and here are some ideas on how to do it. So I was trying to practice, you know, just focusing and visualizing, you know, what is it that I want and what is it that would make me feel better and so forth. And I was working on trying to hold a thought for like 5 seconds. I figured that was a major victory at the time. We're talking about somebody who's spending like, you know, half her day on it. And I'm thinking, wow, if somebody had said to me at that point, I want you to spend half your day on this, I would have looked at them cross-eyed like, who the heck do you think I am anyway?
Well, you know, it has the whole thought has gotten me looking at affirmations in a totally different way, right? Because my thoughts in the past were really kind of picky about an affirmation and what makes an affirmation the right one. And some of them that I might devise might be a little long for this, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Like, okay, maybe we should shorten these down a little bit.
Brevity is a value in something like this, in an exercise like this. You want to move through them quickly.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying, right? And so, but what I thought was interesting yesterday, so I was looking up, I had a couple of my books out, and I went online, and I was just at affirmations. And I was really just sort of researching, like, the structure of them and how different people write them and what they actually look like. And some of the ones that I found that I thought I took note of because they were short, And then it got my mind going on my own, you know, definitions. But like the one that I saw, and it's funny, we're doing this book, Money and the Law of Attraction. So it was actually a money one. And it said, I feel rich.
Mm.
And here's what I thought when I read that. I was like, oh, wow. Because there's so many money affirmations, especially like we talked about Florence Scovel Shinn. She had a lot of money affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of hers was, you know, of course, she talks about God a lot. So one of hers was something like, God is my faithful supply. Money, large amounts of monies come to me daily, under grace in a perfect way, or, I mean, it's long, right?
Wow.
Like say that 1,000 times in a day, that's long.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And so, but when I saw this, I feel rich. I thought, first of all, it's short, but secondly, it's touching on the feeling aspect. And we know from studying conscious creation that the feeling's important. How we feel is important.
Well,
so it didn't say I am rich. It said I feel rich.
I thought,
oh, that's powerful. Another thing, you know, is it's just about this particular method. I think it's just about really changing your thoughts.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the feelings will come. But I thought this was interesting since the actual affirmation said I feel something.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And as I think about it, I mean, I was kind of exaggerating, and I'm realizing I exaggerate a lot more than I had previously realized. Because if you're doing 3 to 5 word affirmations, that's 3 to 5,000 words to do 1,000 in a day. That's actually not a whole lot when you really come down to it. Because 5,000 words, that's probably somewhere around 12 pages in a book. No, that's not
yeah, I was thinking
bad.
To myself when I write, you know, that would be like a longish article for me to write, but it's still going to be something that someone can read in 15 minutes. So,
yeah, absolutely. So it could be
done. My all-time favorite, of course, is every day in every way I'm getting better and better. And that's kind of a medium one. That's not too short or too long. So anyway,
and it's neutral
off on
too.
A tangent there, but I thought it was applicable and kind of fun.
Well, it's a neutral one too, because no matter what discipline you come from. I mean, we're talking law of attraction, but it could be any of the positive thinking people. You know, it could be Tony Robbins. It could be, you know, Neville Goddard. It could be Napoleon Hill. It could be any of them. It could be Dale Carnegie. You could come from any one of those, and every day and every way I'm getting better and better works for all of them. It's one of those really nice, broad ones. So that's a good one.
And it works for everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's every day, and it's in every way I'm getting better and better. So it could be a financial thing. It could be health.
Mm-hmm.
It could be whatever. Whatever you're working on, we want to be better at it. So
absolutely.
I've always liked it because I think it's it kind of covers everything.
Yep. I agree.
And that's important, too. I get persnickety. I don't know if it's because I'm a writer, but when I start to write affirmations, I can get so picky about the way it's written that I never put it into practice.
Now that's like, the bad part. And I do the same thing. It's so easy to spend all this time fretting over the thing and not actually do it. It's like,
I'll fuss over the thing forever. And it's like, it's not quite right yet. It's like, how many affirmations have you said today? Well, I'm still working on it.
It's like, no.
Just pick one. I tell myself this. Look, just pick one and start doing it. You just make an agreement with yourself. You're going to do it for a week. You know, at the end of the week, if you haven't seen a result or you don't like it, then you can change it. But just go. This is the number one thing that's going to bring us success is imperfect action.
I mean,
the willingness to say, okay, I'm just going to do it this way. You know, if it doesn't work, we'll tweak it later.
Even if you just start with, I love my dog. I love my dog. Hey, at least you started.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So speaking of starting something.
We should probably get started, yes.
Let's tell our people how to subscribe before we start.
Okay.
That's so they can start getting our podcast every day.
Actually, there are a few notes we need to make here. First of all, for those who are not aware of it, we are now doing a Tuesday evening podcast, one day a week. Tuesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. And that new time slot, Tom Wells and I are doing that one to encourage people who have wanted to call in but couldn't really do it because of other commitments during the day, work or family or whatever. They just couldn't do it. We figured, well, we'll give them an evening time slot to call in. And we actually started last week, had our first phone call. That was great. But we want to encourage people who have wanted to call in to just talk about stuff, or if you have a question or a problem you're working on, or you just want to share a win, whatever it is, just call in and talk to us, because we love the idea of having more and more perspectives brought to this. I mean, we don't have all the answers. We like to try to address as much as we can, but we don't have all the answers, and you may have something we hadn't thought of. So if you have always wanted to call in and talk to us, please, you know, take some time and visit us this coming Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be glad to talk with you. Regarding subscribing to the podcast, I can report that still people are listening in record numbers to the podcast. Average number of podcasts per unique listener, 30 per month. So people are loving it. It's great. And the easiest way to make sure that you continue to hear them is to be a subscriber. Now, I have to say, Cindy, I've been at work. I have added everything that anyone needs to know about any of this stuff to the homepage of loatoday.net. So that's your go-to place. On loatoday.net's homepage, first of all, you find the player that you can hear the live broadcast on. Most people are listening to the podcast as a after-the-fact recording, but you can listen live as well, and that's how you know, yes, we're on the air. We can talk to you. You can talk to us. It also gives you instructions on how to contact us on the new Zoom platform that we're using, and it's real easy. I mean, it's so easy to install the app and go with it, and it just takes you right there. It just walks you right through it. In terms of subscribing, there's a link right there that you can click on. Just, it says big letters, click here to subscribe. If you're working on an iPhone, it makes it really easy because the iPhone takes that click and just walks you through the rest of the process. If you are on an Android phone, such as a Samsung or a Motorola, LG, one of those guys, you need to have a podcast app installed first, because most often they don't come with that. So you just go to the Play Store, and there are all kinds of podcast manager apps in there. Probably the best one to use, Wendy recommends this one, is a free one called, surprisingly, Podcast Manager. And you download and install that app. And after you've installed it, open the app, and you can do a search on LOA Today, and boom, we pop up right there. You click the subscribe button, and you're off to the races. Also, you can click, like I said, with the iPhone, and just click, it'll walk you through. The other thing you can do with the iPhone, you can go to the iTunes store and just do a search on LOA Today there, and again, it'll walk you through the process. So lots of easy ways to subscribe. And then once you've subscribed, please share. Because, like I said, people, once they start listening to it, they listen to it a lot. So you're doing friends a big favor by saying, hey, I found this really good podcast. You ought to take a listen to it. Here's the link. And to make that easy, we've got about 5 billion icons on there for linking it to every single social media outlet in existence, including some that haven't been invented yet. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but they're all there. You won't, I mean, just hover your mouse over any of them if you're using a desktop, or just try them. I mean, you can tell on Facebook that the Facebook icon is pretty obvious. It's got the little F and so forth, and the Twitter, and you know, the LinkedIn. They're all right there. So take them on and share.
I finally went and took a look, because I heard you kept talking about how many there were. Oh my goodness,
it's crazy, isn't it?
Great.
I have to
thank you. It's like, I dare you to find one that's not on there.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And by the way, if you don't see yours, just hover your mouse over the last one. That'll give you a whole list of new ones that you hadn't even seen yet. So,
that's fantastic.
There is a whole bunch of them in there.
So great.
Every social media site in existence can be found there. So there are no more excuses. All right, now go out there and subscribe and share, and that way you'll be following us every single day. So, with that business out of the way, let's get to the book.
Let's get to the book, Money and the Law of Attraction, Learning to Attract Wealth, Health, and Happiness. That pretty much covers it all, right?
That's it. Like, sign me up. I'm ready.
All right. So I thought we'll read a little bit and see what comes up for us. I'm starting on the physical copy of the book. I've got the paper copy, so just starting on page 3.
Okay.
Your story and the law of attraction.
Yep.
Each and every component that makes up your life experience is drawn to you by the powerful law of attraction's response to the thoughts you think and the story you tell about your life, your money and financial assets, your body's state of wellness, clarity, flexibility, size, shape, your work environment, how you are treated, work satisfaction, and rewards. Indeed, the very happiness of your life experience in general is all happening because of the story that you tell. If you will let your dominant intention be to revise and improve the content of the story you tell every day of your life, it is our absolute promise to you that your life will become that ever-improving story. For by the power of law of attraction, it must be.
Well, that's just what we were talking about. This whole thing about doing 1,000 affirmations is kind of perhaps a little bit of an extreme way to do it, but that's what we were talking about. And that's what I'm doing now.
And how many times do we tell these stories? And you and I talk about this pretty much every time we're on the phone, but the stories that we tell by default, you know, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, or whatever. These are the kind of things I think that we can change with, you know, with the affirmation practice. But yeah, it's all those stories that start making up. And I'm sitting here when I moved in my office a second ago to this chair, and I thought, what is that sound when I sat in this chair? I don't know if you can hear it, but it's this sound. Oh, it's a string of Mardi Gras beads. You know, I'm here in Louisiana. So I was letting Mardi Gras beads sub in for until the prayer beads get made.
There you go. Yeah. You got your Mardi Gras beads. All right. Well, now there's no, you have no excuses left. You have to start today. That's all there is to it.
I did. I started yesterday. I said, I've got to find some beads. And I opened a cupboard and they were hanging there and I just burst out laughing. I was like, okay, there they are.
You know, last week you told me last week about the mirror exercise. And I mentioned how I'm on day 3 now of doing the mirror exercise. And it's exactly like we talked about. That first day was really rough because I had to look in my eyes in the mirror and say, I love you, without flinching away. It was a challenge. But the second day was easier. And then the third day was a whole lot easier. I was surprised. I thought it was going to take me a while to, you know, kind of get used to that. So, and I'm not saying everybody should be doing the mirror exercise, but my point is, if you feel like this is a weird thing to do, I felt like it was a weird thing to do when I first started. I'm sure you felt like it was a weird thing to do when you first started. All I can say is, trust us. You just do it anyway. Just do it. You know, start telling that
new
story.
Yeah, and I love that you said you're doing it, you know, 30 days. You said, I'm challenging myself
to do
this 30
days.
For 30 days.
Yeah. I'm just determined.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I am too. I'm very excited. And the other thing that strikes me is, you know, like you said, we tell these negative stories all the time. I didn't even realize how many negative stories I told during a day. But every time that I complained about something, I was telling a negative story. Every time that I said, you know, life is against me, I was telling a negative story. Every time that, you know, I was feeling like a victim, I didn't even have to tell the story outright. Just feeling like a victim, I was telling a story. And I'm realizing now, looking back, like, oh my God, all of these negative stories that go through our heads all day long, we got to reverse that momentum if we want to have anything improve in our lives. And that's what they're saying. You got to start reversing the momentum right now. So it's not like you want to put the book down. It's not like we're done yet, but this is definitely step one.
Yeah. And I love it because, like you said, it's not even, sometimes it doesn't even make it to the words. It's just the feeling that we carry around. And so that's going to shift. The mirror work is going to have a phenomenal effect in your life. I know it, and I'm excited about that. And I'll let you know when I hit 1,000 affirmations in one day.
All right, good.
All right, so the book continues. Does life sometimes seem to be unfair? I want to tell you that when I read that sentence, it's a heading in the book on page 3, I started laughing because how many times have we thought that something was unfair, right? So let's see what they say.
Oh, not only that something was unfair, I thought for the longest time that there was some secret hidden entity that was after me and was undermining my life.
Well, you know, I think that actually gets addressed in here.
Oh, so, really? Oh, okay. Well, and I'm sorry I interrupted.
I was like, wow. Okay. So you've wanted more success, and you have applied yourself well, doing everything that everyone said you should do. But the success you've been seeking has been slow to come. You tried very hard, especially at first, to learn all the right things, to be in the right places, to do the right things, to say the right things, but often things did not appear to be improving much at all. Earlier in your life, when you were first dipping your toe into the idea of achieving success, you found satisfaction in satisfying the expectation of the others who were laying out the rules for success. The teachers, parents, and mentors who surrounded you seemed confident and convincing as they laid out their rules for success. Always be on time. Always do your best. Remember to work hard. Always be honest. Strive for greatness. Go the extra mile. There's no gain without pain. And most important, never give up. But over time, your finding satisfaction from gaining the approval of those who laid out those rules waned as their principles of success, no matter how hard you tried, did not yield you the promised results. And it was more disheartening still when you stood back to gain some perspective on the whole picture and realized that their principles were not, for the most part, bringing them success either. Mm-hmm. And then, to make matters even worse, you began meeting others who clearly were not following those rules, who were achieving success apart from the formula that you had been so diligent to learn and apply. And so you found yourself asking, what's going on here? How can those who are working so hard be receiving so little, while those who seem to be working so little are achieving so much? My expensive education hasn't paid off at all, and yet that multimillionaire dropped out of high school. My father worked hard every day of his life, and yet our family had to borrow money to pay for his funeral. Why doesn't my hard work pay off for me the way it was supposed to? Why do so few really get rich while most of us struggle to barely get by? What am I missing? What do those financially successful people know that I don't know?
How did they know that I had said all those things to myself?
I'm serious. When I read this,
I was like,
oh my goodness.
It was right out of my playbook.
Most of our brains.
I mean, they're just tapping into my subconscious mind. Yeah, okay. Well, now I know where it's all been coming from. Okay.
Is doing your best still not enough? When you're doing everything you can think of, truly trying your best to do what you've been told is supposed to bring you success, and success does not come, it's easy to feel defensive. And eventually, even angry at those who are displaying evidence of the success you desire.
Oh, yes.
You even find yourself sometimes condemning their success simply because it's too painful to watch them living the success that continues to elude you. And it is for this reason, in response to this chronic condition in the financial affairs of your culture, that we offer this book. I actually highlighted that line in my book. Because I thought this was so powerful that they said, it's for this reason, in response to this chronic condition in the financial affairs of your culture, that we offer this book.
Yeah, that is
chronic condition. Yeah, I was like, okay. And I think that's why you just said what you said, right? You're like, oh my gosh, they're in my head. Like, how do they know I said
how
all
do
that
they
stuff?
Know? And yeah, that's what
I
it
said
seems
the
like.
Same thing. I was like, yeah. All right. This is another section, the next section. I actually highlighted this. When you come to the place of openly condemning the financial success that you crave, not only can that financial success never come to you, but you are also forfeiting your God-given rights to your health and happiness as well.
And I remember reading that and saying to myself, yeah, okay, but I'm still in financial agony here.
And this next little section is the part I think that's addressing what you said before. It says, many actually come to the incorrect conclusion that others in their physical environment have banded together in some sort of conspiracy to keep them from succeeding.
Yes, yes, yes.
For they believe with all their heart that they have done everything possible to achieve success. And the fact that it's not come must surely mean that there are some unfriendly forces at work that are depriving them of what they desire. But we want to assure you that nothing like that is at the heart of the absence of what you desire or of the presence of the things you would like to remove from your experience. No one ever has or ever could have prevented your success or provided. Your success is all up to you. It is all in your control. And we're writing this book so that now, finally, once in all time, your success can be in your deliberate and conscious control.
And I remember reading that sentence. No one ever has or ever could have prevented your success or provided it. And I remember thinking to myself, well, then what am I doing wrong? That's what I remember thinking. What am I doing wrong? I don't understand.
You know, this sort of reminds me of, and I've told you this story before, but, and it's not about money. It's actually about health. But a long time ago, I had a very serious health crisis. And the thing was, is that I was very health-minded. I was very, very conscious of living a extremely healthy lifestyle. And at the time, I had become a vegetarian, and then I had gone from being a vegetarian to being a vegan, and felt fantastic for a couple of years, and then I got really sick. And of course, my diet was so clean, and my lifestyle was so clean, that no one knew what was wrong. And the doctors kept saying, I even had a doctor tell me it was in my head. And of course, I was looking at, it's got to be the toxins in the atmosphere, right? Maybe there's a chemical spill because we live in a place where that's possible, and maybe this and maybe that. See, I was looking outside myself, and then someone gave me that book about the blood type diet, and I found out that for a type O blood type, one of the most important things for our health is to eat red meat. And I said these words. I said, oh my goodness, I did this to myself.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
It's like when you get, here's the thing. I see a pattern. It's a pattern, but you just did it when you said no one has ever or ever could prevent your success or you went, oh, right.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, okay, so you're telling this is all on me,
which was
my first reaction. Oh, I did this to myself? Oh,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying? You're saying it, right? But the next thing that happened is if I did this to myself, then I can fix it.
Yeah, there's like, at least that hope.
I think it's suddenly a place of power, and we are writing this book so that now, finally, once and for all time, your success can be in your deliberate and conscious control. That's the good news, is that
it sounds a little bit like a tease.
We can take charge of it.
We can. It sounds a little bit like a tease, but there's at least the potential there. It opens your eyes and say, okay, well, I'm open to it, so show me how it's done.
So whatever I can desire, I can achieve. It is time for you to return to the true nature of your being, and being is capitalized here, and to consciously live the success that the experiencing of your own life has helped you determine that you desire. And so as you deliberately relax right now, breathing deeply and reading steadily, you will begin to gradually but surely remember how all success comes. For you already inherently understand it. And so you will certainly feel resonance with these absolute truths as you read about them here. The eternal laws of the universe are consistent and reliable and steadily hold always the promise of expansion and joy. They are being presented to you here in a powerful rhythm of understanding that will start small within you and then expand with each page you read until you reawaken into the knowledge of your purpose and your own personal power as you remember how to access the power of the universe that creates worlds.
Well, that was big
right
there.
I really, really love that this says they will be presented here in a small way at first, right?
In a small way that ultimately leads to accessing the power of the universe that creates worlds. I see that and I say, well, geez, if I had that, even I could be successful.
And it's understandable that the way it would have to happen with us would be to start small and let it expand as we go, because the power of the universe that creates worlds sounds pretty powerful. So it might overwhelm us if we got it all at once.
Oh yeah. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed just reading it now for the second time. The first time I must've been thinking like, Actually, I think probably my mind kind of went into like tilt mode because it couldn't handle all of that at once.
Well, and I actually think that with all of these types of books, I think that's why when we read them the second time, we see all this stuff we missed the first time. It's like we were filtering it out because it was overwhelming. So, and now we're ready for it. So
that's right.
Okay. It says, if this time-space reality has within it the ability to inspire a desire within you, it is absolute that this time-space reality has the ability to yield you a full and satisfying manifestation of that same desire. It is law. So that says to me that if we desire something, then there's a way for us to create it.
Which is back in that category of this is a little overwhelming. I mean, wow, there's a way for me to create no matter what it is. What have I been missing? I don't understand still. I mean, at least there's a little hope here. That's good. I still don't understand what I was doing wrong.
You know, one of the things that I like to point out to myself and others is that we're not doing anything wrong. We're just living a human experience, right? No mistakes, just human experience. And so the things that we might judge as that we did them wrong was just part of the experience that we're gaining as we move forward. As a matter of fact, I remember being at a conference and someone, it was like I was an expert at what I was there for. And so someone asked me, what does it mean to be an expert? And I quoted the physicist Niels Bohr, who said an expert is someone who has made every possible mistake in a narrow field.
Yes.
Right? So it's like as we go through and we look back and we realize that as conscious or as creators, because we're all creating, boy, I know myself, I can look back and say, boy, I've done a lot of things wrong, or I sure have created a lot of junk in my life. But I think it's just all part of the learning experience, and what it is, it makes us someone who is able to say we are experienced. And
very
the more
true.
Experience we get, the closer we get to being an expert.
Yeah.
So see, Walt, we're on the way to being experts at this test.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Okay. Perfect. That provides more hope. That's good.
Well, and the next little subheading says, to achieve success is my natural birthright. Interesting, because so many of us feel like we haven't achieved success, and I think every single one of us has times when we've felt like we failed at something.
And that's where
I
went back to what they said earlier about those imaginary beings that were out to get me. I'm thinking, well, okay, who stole my birthright?
Right. So if to achieve success is our natural birthright, okay. So it says most people naturally assume that if their life is not going the way they want it to go, something outside of themselves must be preventing the improvement, or no one would deliberately hold their own success away.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. But while pointing the blame at others may feel better than assuming responsibility for unwanted conditions, there is a very big negative repercussion to believing that something outside of you is the reason for your own lack of success. When you give the credit or the blame to another for your success or lack of it, you are powerless to make any change.
Now, that brought me up short when I saw that, because that really came closer than anything else they had said so far to the core of the issue, which was, if I continue on that path of, like they're saying, of blaming another, I'm making myself powerless. That's when I first began to realize this is about changing my attitude.
Yeah, and it's so funny. You know, when I think about the example that I gave of being sick, you know, if I would have continued to think that it had to be environmental toxins, stuff in the air that I had no control over, then it didn't matter what I did. And it didn't matter how healthy I ate or how much exercise I did or how much sleep I got or all those things that are on the list of, you know, healthy things to do. If it was all outside of my control, and when I found out it was in my control, that changed my whole life.
Oh, yeah, because now you have the choice between being a victim and being an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Being a victim and actually being in control.
When we're in victim mode, it's like we don't have control over anything.
Right.
Okay, let's keep going here. So I'll reread that sentence because it's powerful. When you give the credit or the blame to another for your success or lack of it, you're powerless to make any change. When you desire success, but from your perspective, you're not currently experiencing it, at many deep levels of your being, you recognize that something is wrong. And as this strong feeling of personal discord magnifies your awareness that you're not getting what you want, it often sets into motion other counterproductive assumptions that evoke jealousy toward those who are having more success, resentment at a myriad of people you would like to blame for your lack of success, or even self-denigration, which is the most painful and counterproductive assumption of all. And we submit that this uncomfortable upheaval is not only normal, but it is the perfect response to your feeling a lack of success. I got a big smile on my face when I read that. Because the jealousy and the resentment and the self-denigration that we don't want to feel and probably feel guilty and rotten for feeling, now it says that this uncomfortable upheaval is not only normal, but it's the perfect response to your feeling a lack of success.
I have to admit that confused me. Because here I was, I'd just been set up for the idea that I needed to change my attitude. And now it's telling me, well, you had the perfect response. And that my reaction was, well, which one is it? Which one is it?
Well, here's why. It says your emotional discomfort is a powerful indicator that something is very wrong.
Well, that's true.
You are meant to succeed, and failure should feel bad to you. I was like, oh, yay. Okay. So you're meant to be well, and sickness should not be accepted. You are supposed to expand, and stagnation is intolerable. Life is supposed to go well for you, and when it does not, there is something wrong. But what is wrong is not that an injustice has occurred, or that the gods of good fortune are not focusing on you, or that someone else has received the success that should have been yours. What is wrong is that you are out of harmony with your own being, and that's being with a capital B there, with who you really are, with what life has caused you to ask for, with what you have expanded to, with the ever-consistent laws of the universe. What is wrong is not something that's outside of you over which you have no control. What is wrong is within you, and you do have control. And taking control is not difficult to do once you understand the basis of who you are and the basics of the law of attraction and the value of your personal emotional guidance system that you were born with, which is always active, ever present, and easy to understand. You know, when I think about that emotional guidance system and that we are born with it, I just think about babies. Babies let you know when they're not happy.
That's true.
They don't hide it. They don't stuff it down.
No,
they
not
don't
at all.
Paste on a fake smile and pretend everything's okay.
No, not even close.
They just let you know. Right? You know, you're in a restaurant and all of a sudden over on the other side you hear a baby screaming and everybody looks at each other and is like, not a happy camper over there. Right?
It reminds me of a
story. It's like that emotional guidance system. When we're babies, it really works well.
It reminds me of a story that my mom told me once about when she was very young and she and her two older brothers went to the theater, which was a big deal. She lived in a very poor part of Kansas at the time, so going to the theater was a really, really big deal. Anyway, they went to the movie, mm-hmm. and during the movie, there was a baby there with her mother, presumably, and the baby started crying in the middle of the movie. And the baby kept crying and crying, and finally, my mom's older brother shouted out, "Stop beating that baby."
That's so funny. So yeah, I think, wow, you know, our personal emotional guidance system, and we were born with it, and it says, I love it, it says, which is always active, ever present, and easy to understand. So if we think about those babies, when we see a baby laughing and dancing, we know it's happy. When we hear it screaming, we know something's amiss.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's easy to understand, but I think we get tangled up with trying to be acceptable and trying to have the right emotions, and we start making it difficult for ourselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there was one portion there that you read that I remember also reacting to that the first time around. It said, what is wrong is that you are out of harmony with your own being, which is kind of funny because my cat Harmony was just in my lap. But but I'm thinking about that, and I remember thinking about it at the time and saying to myself, out of harmony with my own being. And it raised a question in my head. What does that mean? How can one be out of harmony with one's own being? I never heard of such a concept before. How could that possibly be? I am what I am. You know, how can I be out of harmony with who I am? That just didn't, I never heard that idea before.
Yeah. And they say, and it's written here, it says, when you're out of harmony with your own being, comma, with who you really are.
Yeah.
And so there's that authenticity piece, I think, there. All right. So this section has a subtitle, Money is Not the Root of Evil or of Happiness.
And I have to say, when I saw that, I felt immensely better. Because I had always rejected the idea that money was the root of all evil. I didn't think it was necessarily the root of all good, but it wasn't the root of all evil. I knew that. So when I saw that written there, I said, yes, all right, hooray.
Right, and I note that they add, or happiness. Money is not the root of evil or of happiness.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. This important subject of money and financial success is not the root of all evil, as many have quoted. Nor is it the path to happiness.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people would say, but wait a minute. You know what they say? They say, you know, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a wave runner. And have you ever seen an unhappy person on a wave runner?
Yeah, this
right.
is true.
So, but Abraham is saying here that money is not the root of evil or of happiness. Okay. So, however, because the subject of money touches most of you in one way or another, hundreds or even thousands of times in every day, it's a large factor in your vibrational makeup and in your personal point of attraction. That made me think of the 1,000 affirmations a day.
That's right,
like
yeah.
If money is touching our life 1,000 times a day, then maybe we need those 1,000 affirmations. Okay.
That's a good point.
Let's see where it was. So when you are able to successfully control something that affects most of you all day, every day, you will have accomplished something rather significant.
True.
In other words, because such a high percentage of your thoughts in any given day reside around the topic of money or financial success, as soon as you're able to deliberately guide your thoughts, not only is it certain that your financial success must improve, but the evidence of that success will then prepare you for deliberate improvement in every aspect of your life experience.
And that makes sense when you think about it, because
and
you're
right. know when it says here that you know percentage of our thoughts in any given day reside around the topic of money or financial success. I remember one time realizing how often I was translating the thought of anything into money.
Oh yeah,
right. It's like. It, almost anything that I was, you know, thinking about, it would be like, oh, well, how much does that cost? Or how much can that make? Or, you know, but it was always like this computer in the brain just suddenly. And it's because, you know, pretty much in our society, everything takes money.
Yeah.
We need money to park. We need money to,
to park.
You know, to everything. Takes money.
It does.
And so it makes sense. And then when people feel that money is the root of all evil, you know, that's got to be such a huge and consistent piece of contrast. Because if money's evil and I need money to do pretty much anything I want to do in my life, that's a lot of conflict. to be dealing with on a consistent basis, and that causes a lot of stress.
It's endless conflict. It's perpetual, daily, minute-by-minute conflict. Because, like you say, money is necessary for everything that you do, and yet money is the root of all evil. That means, therefore, everything that you do is at the root of all evil.
Right, and that's, gosh, and even having that as an underlying sort of subconscious thought, you know, that one thing we know is that chronic low-level stress, it affects our health in a detrimental way that probably more than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big, it's not, what is that saying? It's like, it's not the climb up the mountain, it's the pebble in your shoe.
Yes, right.
Right? So it's like, you know, we've all had instances where something went wrong we weren't expecting. Oh no, flat tire, you know, the washer broke or whatever, a big financial thing that we weren't expecting that now we have to deal with. And we deal with those things. But that's not really the big stressor. The biggest stressor is that low level chronic stress that comes from our thoughts and beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
That may not even be conscious all the time.
I mean, using the example of the pebble in the shoe, did you ever notice that that pebble that's in your shoe actually turns out to be even smaller than you thought?
Yes.
I mean, it's mustard seed size. Sometimes you can't even find it. You dump the shoe out, you can't see what fell out. You put your foot back in and it's gone. But you know it must have been in there, but you just can't even see it because it's so darn small. And yet it made a misery out of your life.
Right, exactly. And so that's what we're talking about here. And it does. It touches every area of our life. There's pretty much not one thing that we can do that's not going to, you know, cost in one way or another. So
Absolutely. This
is important that we're getting this taken care of. It's going to affect our life in a big way.
Oh, yeah. Big way.
If you are a student of deliberate creation, if you want to consciously create your own reality, if you desire control of your own life experience, if you fulfill your reason for being, then your understanding of these prevalent topics, money and the law of attraction, will serve you enormously well. And that is the end of page 7.
And that is a good place to stop because we're down to our last minute, 2 minutes and a half. But this is a
Perfect.
Good start to the book. This is a really good start because, I mean, they did a great job when they wrote this book. I mean, I know Abraham wrote it, but also Esther and Jerry contributed a great deal of effort because Esther was the one, of course, who had to translate all of it into English, and Jerry helped a lot with the editing and putting it all together and restructuring and so forth. So they all did a wonderful job because look how quickly we're into this book, and already we have identified in a major way the issues that all of us have where finances are concerned, except for those of us who have already been blessed with having, you know, large amounts of abundance. I'm in awe of how they did this. They did a great job to get the start. And the rest of the book it fulfills every promise that they suggest in the beginning part of this book. So you want to stay with us for episode after episode.
And I want to chime in really quickly and say that even if you have been blessed with abundance, I know from being a life coach that I've coached some millionaires before that had just as many financial problems as people that I've coached that really didn't have any money at all. They have the same beliefs and the same struggles. And sometimes they're just bigger because they're about bigger amounts of money. So it's something for no matter where you are, this is going to be helpful.
Very true. And although that might be a little hard for somebody to believe who is living in a tenement with her infant son or infant daughter and can't make ends meet. There's not enough money to pay the rent and so forth. It's going to be a little bit hard for her to identify with that millionaire who's having financial problems. The point, though...
Absolutely, and that's where that resentment comes in that we just read about.
Resentment, right.
So, yeah,
the point
definitely.
Is that this is all about changing our mindset, because when we change our mindset, it doesn't matter where we're coming from. It doesn't matter how low our circumstances are. This is the way out.
That's right.
So this is a good start. We're going to do it again tomorrow, and of course, every Tuesday and Wednesday morning from here on forward until we're done with the book. So thank you, Cindy, for bringing it up, and thank you for getting it started for us.
You're welcome. I'm excited about it. We're going to see big
too.
Changes.
I think there's going to be great changes, and I hope you follow along with us as well every day here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.